I'm going to be reading this morning from the book of Luke, the last chapter, chapter 24, looking at the very end of the gospel. I start at verse 36. As the disciples are gathered together in one room. While they were still talking about this being the resurrection appearances of Jesus, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written: the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple praising God. Easter Sunday is now about 3 weeks ago, and for many of us it is already a distant memory. After a short break, life is back to normal. Holidays are over. Schools are back, traffic is a little bit more predictable, and life is fitting again into those routines which we have set up in our lives. Easter eggs may still be on the shelf in some shops, but they're now on sale, and it seems a little bit odd to go and purchase them right now. Easter is over, it's done with, it's gone, and for most of us, we're now looking forward to the summer, the brighter weather, the warmer climate, and what might happen. We've moved on, which is normal, and it's very necessary as well if we're going to live our lives. The danger is, of course, that in moving on, we move on from the impact of what has gone before. You know, we get back into our old routines, we slip back into our usual habits, we struggle with the same old things we always have done without a thought for the implications of Easter and how this should and could challenge and change our lives. Or if you like, we treat Easter as a little break, a holiday, a time to reflect without allowing its true meaning to penetrate our lives and change our actions. Which is odd, really, considering the implications that Easter had for those who followed Jesus at the time of his death and resurrection. Of course, for them, you could say it'd be very difficult to fit back into a routine, because for the last 3 years, the disciples had been walking in the footsteps of Jesus without any distractions or other interests to take their minds off things. They'd been there as Jesus had gone round raising people from the dead. They'd seen him heal the sick. They'd seen him challenge the authorities. They'd seen him paint a picture of a new world that God had come to bring. It may have been a roller coaster ride that they'd just been on, but now they really had no routine to fit back into. They could have gone back to their old jobs, but it was more now a challenge of adjusting to a new life, a different way of living. And so here in the passage that we're looking at today, the disciples are gathered together, trying to work things out. They've heard these rumours that Jesus is alive. People have seen him And rumour has got back to them, but they themselves have not actually sighted him. And so they're gathered together and they're anxious because they don't know what this means. And so it's quite apt that as they're discussing these resurrection sightings, that suddenly Jesus comes and stands among them. Supposedly out of nowhere, there's no knock at the door, there's no practical things, he's just there. This amazing person who they have been discussing, who they thought was dead, who had challenged their lives beyond belief, suddenly appears to them, as alive as he has ever been. Of course, as you would, they try and find some practical explanation for this, because he died. They think it must be a ghost, or a figment of their imagination, an apparition, something that's going on in their minds. Until Jesus says, well, touch my body. A ghost does not have flesh and bones. And then he says, well, give me some food. And he ate it while they watched him. And the realisation finally dawns that actually the rumours are true. Jesus is alive with a new body. It's a body that functions very much like the old body, but it's upgraded so it can now live in the new that God is creating. Easter, it turns out, has brought to pass all those prophecies and promises that God handed down over the years. The true Messiah has come back to life. But Easter has also brought something else. You see, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ has not only fulfilled all those old promises so that everyone can say, well, well done, it's all been fulfilled. It's also started something new, a new way of life, which threatens to change both the lives of the disciples and those that will follow on in the years to come. Because you see, as Jesus appears to his disciples in this passage, he carries with him not only a new body, but a new way of being, a new way of living, which they and those to follow are invited to enter into. You see, as he appears for the first time, the words that he speaks to them as he arrives in their presence are, peace be with you. Peace be with you. It's a standard greeting throughout the Bible for those who come into contact with God, mainly because they're all terrified. But in the light of Easter, it's not only a greeting, a standard thing to say, it's a new way of living. Peace be with you. Or if you like, from now on, there's no need to fret. From now on, there's no need to worry. From now on, there's no need to be anxious or stressed. Even when life throws you an ordeal, even when you're scared about what might be around the corner. Because from now on, in the light of Easter and all that has happened, God's peace is available to everyone at all times. Or as the Gospel of John expands this, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Because the consequence of Easter is that peace is here at all times. And not only that, but forgiveness is also offered. In fact, it's not just offered. In the light of Easter, it is the new way forward. Not only for individuals, but for the transformation of the world. You see, because of what Jesus did, his death and resurrection from the dead, this passage said, repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations. Or if you like, repentance and forgiveness will no longer be for those who know God, who have sought him, who have lived in the right religious way, but instead it will be a way of life that will transform the world into what God intended it to be. Or if you like, the consequence of Easter is the new presence of God, which brings peace and forgiveness to all people, so that the world no longer need be a place of power and dominance, but a place of forgiveness that can transform people's lives. You see, for the disciples, Easter didn't finish when the tomb was empty. Instead, the empty tomb gave them a new landscape in which they were to start to walk and to live and to breathe. And you know, life today is very different from how it was then. We have different pressures and lots of things around us, but the same thing that was true for the disciples, the same thing that Jesus offered when he walked into that room or appeared in that room, should be true for us today as well. Because even as we settle back into old routines, doing the same thing and getting on with our lives following the Easter break, this passage should remind us that life for us should be different. We may do the same old things, but from this historic moment, our landscape has changed. God is no longer hard to find. We don't have to jump through hoops and do various things and dress in the right way. He's here. And the world is no longer on a path to destruction. Although, read the papers and you'll think there's no hope whatsoever. It's not true, though, because a new way of life has begun. The way of peace and forgiveness and reconciliation. The way of God that will one day bring healing to the whole world. This is the new landscape which we walk in following on from Easter. It starts with the peace of God and goes on with forgiveness. And so today I thought we could do the same. We're going to share communion, which looks